Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. So, can anybody, without looking at their notes, say the first four words? No looking at your notes. What was the first one that we talked about? Father, forgive them. Number two? Yes. Number three? And number four? My God, why have you forsaken me? And here in this, Jesus comes. Somebody get for me John 19:28. John 19:28. Anybody? Isaac. And then Hebrews 12:2. Jesse Sheets. And we'll go ahead and just finish right there. John 19:28. So I know we have a loud voice, but just so that we can be able to get it, let's make sure that we speak into the mic, okay? Yes, ma'am. John 19:28.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
Jesus said, I thirst. It said that the scripture might be fulfilled is the affirmation of the result rather than of a purpose. See, Jesus never came. Listen to me. Jesus never came so that you can feel sorry for him. Jesus didn't come so that you can have have pity for him. He didn't have self-pity. Jesus was a man that knew exactly what needed to be done. Jesus was fully conscious when he mentioned these words, when he said these words, that these words were spoken when Jesus was on the cross. See, this was a reason why Jesus. What they would do is they would give you a wine or a medicated drink that would be offered to you when you were being crucified, so that the pain could be kind of like, you know, when you go up and you're gonna have a surgery. What they do is they give you an anesthesia so that you don't feel the pain. Well, that's what that wine mix was supposed to be, but Jesus refused it. He refused it because he wanted to be alert. He wanted to be alive. See, Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said the words, I thirst. See, this was a prayer that Jesus was offering, not to his heavenly Father, but to men. I thirst. That was Jesus having a need. How many of us here this morning, we have a need, but our pride doesn't allow us to ask? I have a need, but by golly, I'm not going to let nobody know that I have it, because our pride does not allow you and I this morning to ask favors. I'll figure it out. How many have ever said, I'll figure it out? We're at the end of the road, but I'll figure it out. Where we can't find the figure it out, but we'll figure something out. And we don't, folks. Because why? Because we do not ask. Why? Because I don't want to show people that there's a need in my life. Because there's a persona, in a sense, that needs to be portrayed. See, if you and I this morning are going to live for God for the long run, we are going to have to. We have to be in a place, folks, where we are even going to ask. Listen, these are the people that were hostile towards Jesus. But here Jesus is asking them for a drink. How many this morning would come to a point, or would we be so that we're dying of thirst, but these people did me wrong, so I'm not going to ask them to do something for me? How many have ever, or you want to share some type of testimony this morning of maybe something that goes along those lines? You know you need, but yet the only people that are there to help you out are the ones that have done you wrong. And there's no way. Listen, I'm not going to stoop down to that. But yet, the need is there. Did you have a... No? Yes? I saw you move your hand. So I'm telling you, I got Hawkeye. I see a movement, and it's like the Garland Church for a while, they'd be like this. Because every movement, oh, you got to... Oh, no. Go ahead.
That same person that offended you is who God is going to use to bring you to the next level. Yeah. And we don't understand that. We use that as an offense instead of a building block for our next and new level.
Yeah. Yeah. That person that's there is going to be the one to help you. But because you were offended, guess what? We make statements like, I'd rather die than get help from you. Then guess what? You're going to die. They're going to continue to move. They're going to go through, and we're going to be in eternity, and the Lord's going to be like, I sent help to get you. It's just like the illustration of when the rains came down. There was a lady that went up onto the second floor. The rains kept coming. A boat came. No, the Lord's going to send me help. The rains kept coming. The rain kept getting higher. She went up to now the rooftop. Other people came to help her. No, the Lord's going to. So the Lord has sent all this help. But yet, what have we done? See, if we are going to, we're going to have to be Jesus there. He is getting, and his need is being fulfilled by the people that are against him. There's a quote. It's from a father. It's a quote that a father said to his son, "If you ever need my help, I will be glad to give it." That's from the father to the son. A quote from the son to the father. "I would rather die of starvation than ask help from you." How many know that that's a reality of life sometimes? The father says, "If you ever need my help, I'll be glad to give it." The son says, "I would rather die than to take your help." See, Jesus, he was so forgiving that he would even be willing to ask of those that considered him as an enemy. See, the prayer that Jesus prayed was a prayer of humility. Jesus was there to ask for help. The man who was asking his enemies for a drink of water had been taunted by him, by them for hours. Remember, they're there. If you are, get yourself down. Don't forget about us. All these other things that they said. But yet Jesus, he had no pride. He took the side of those by confessing his need in that very moment of his greatest need in life. See, this was not the... See, we have to know that Jesus did that throughout his whole ministry. Somebody get John 4. No, that was somebody else. John 4. Mariel? Just start in verse 1.
"Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed from again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water."
So real quick. So this would have been right around midday. Right around midday, how many know that it is where the sun is almost at its peak? And here it is, this woman is there. She's at the well. Normally, you would go in the very early morning or towards the latter part. Why? To be able to get away from that scorching sun, right? Mm-hmm. But she's there. Go ahead, keep going.
"Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.
Right there.
Jesus comes, and he sees potential. See, what Jesus told this woman, it was too much for her. How many know that Jesus is there, and he's speaking profoundly? You and I think that, oh, it's just give me a drink. Jesus is trying to tell this woman, listen, if you get of this water, if you come in and you drink of this water, you're going to come in and you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I can give you, you will never thirst. Listen, when we find out what Jesus was and all that he is trying to portray and bring forth, it really goes beyond. But this woman understood Jesus was not too proud to ask of a drink from a woman who was an outcast from society, folks. And there was another need, Matthew 4. Somebody get that. Matthew 4. Jesse, back in the back. Matthew 4.
Verse 1.
Yeah, just start in verse 1 and keep reading. Okay. And I'll tell you when.
It says, then when Jesus was led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 4 days and for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered.
Right there. So he fasted for 40 nights and 40 days. How many fast one day and after and at by the end of the day, you're like, man, I'm hungry. So here it is, Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says, and afterwards, he was hungry. He had a need, folks. And as he was there, the need had to be fulfilled. The need had to be met. Hebrews 12, 2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
See, Jesus had faith, folks. He had faith in God that nothing could kill him, not even the cross. What is even more stranger than that is that Jesus had faith in man. How many of us have ever been betrayed by man? Right? If you haven't, just live long. Just live a little more. You will. Right? Just live a little while longer. You will. But yet Jesus was looking down upon folks. And he looks at them and he had faith that like nobody else. He had faith in you. When you looked at yourself and you were like, I'm busted. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. And I can't be trusted. Right? I don't even trust myself. How is anybody else going to trust in me? How am I going to get the trust of... But yet, Jesus still trusted you when you couldn't even trust yourself. And that's the precious things that here it is, Jesus. He's there. He's on the cross. The cross was not going to kill him. Amen. The pains were not going to kill him. And he had faith in you. See, without this faith, Jesus would have never been able to be our Redeemer. The author and perfecter of our faith. Our faith, folks, it measures and it stands in the measurement of who Jesus is. We follow and we measure ourselves to that faith by the measurement of the faith that Jesus had. See, he was able, if we could say, to rejoice in the torture. Because of one thing, folks. Because his suffering would not be in vain. Isn't that amazing? That he was, you know, when I read Isaiah, and Isaiah tells me that his visage was no longer of a man. You know what that tells me? Have you ever gone to a butcher, where you go to Walmart, the meat department, right? Not where you go to HEB or King Super or Safeway or one of those, but if you go to a butcher shop where they're actually having the meat hung up on a little stakes and you there and they just get it and they hang it up and it just looks like a raw piece of meat, that's what Jesus looked like to you and I after the fact of what they did for him. But you know, him going through all that, it was not in vain, folks. It was not in vain. Because by him going through what he went through, he became, and he did, and he fulfilled everything that he came to do. See, knowing the human heart as only he could know it. Can I tell you, you and I don't even know our hearts. How many have ever made a statement like, I don't even know if I'm capable of doing that? Well, can I tell you something? You are. You are. I don't think I'm capable of doing that. Listen, can I tell you, if we are left to ourselves, we are. You know, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are, left or right, conservative, Republican. But here it is, this 22-year-old man that just took the life of Charlie Kirk. For what? Why? Why did he do that? See, we come and we say things like, I don't think I'm capable of doing that. Can I tell you, without Jesus, you're capable of doing even that. That's what you're capable of doing. If you left, because Jesus knows your heart. And he knows my heart. And he knows our heart. And our heart, if left to itself, our heart is who we are. Our heart is what we are. We're capable of doing that. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I'm a lot better than that. No, you're not. We're not. We are not. If we are left without Jesus in our lives. Jesus knows our heart. He never doubts. See, God says, the Word of God tells you and I that as we lift up Jesus, that God will draw men unto Himself. See, you and I this morning, as I come to a close, we are going to have the same faith, a faith that is going to help you and I perform the things, or if we can say the task. You know, in the military, we always called it a task. You got this task. That was something that needed to be done. Right, Mark? Right? Military people, yeah. You got a task. You got to get it done. See the task that the Lord has set before you and I. What is that task? It's to be able to see the things of God done. Any questions, any comments before we I'm opening up anything on what we just talked about where Jesus said, I thirst. Amen. Anything. Don't all speak at once. I fed you sugar this morning, so you ought to be good and wide awake. I got some coffee back there. I can give you some coffee that we can be able to get you guys. Listen, folks. If left to our own devices, we don't know what we're capable of. That's why when I gave my life and surrendered my heart to Jesus, I said, Lord, thank you. Can I tell you, folks? I said, Lord, thank you. Because I know what this little short, stubby, bald, ugly Mexican man is capable of doing. I know. Because I know who I am. And can I tell you somebody that also knew who I was? My wife. But can I tell you somebody that knew me before she knew me? Jesus. And I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done. Amen.
So just going back to what was talked about in the beginning about those who hurt you, you will need them. And I was just thinking about, you know, without going into too much, but when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I ultrally hated my mother and my father. I don't now because I'm a Christian, but back then I did. But looking back at that, there were certain things that they did for me that was really good. Like, for example, even though I did not like my father, he was the one, not that I couldn't read, but he was the one who trained me more in education and specifically in reading and understanding things, not just to read, but to actually get what people are actually saying in that. And I still carry that with me, and I still go back and I tell him every once in a, when I see him in Philadelphia, I say, hey, you know what? Without mentioning anything that's bad, I say, I really appreciate what you did for me and how you educated me and like all in the summer school. And it just made me think, you know, it's kind of funny that the very people who may be against you, or maybe you even think they're against you, or maybe they are, by their actions and their words or their deeds or whatever, but yet you can still get something from them and still be thankful for it afterwards.
It's that horrible thing, reading comprehension. You know, I would be reading and I would be like, man, I think I got it. And then they would ask me questions about what I just read and I'd be like, oh. Go ahead, Jesse, in the back.
Even as us being in this house, you know, the enemy knows where our emotions are and he knows what you're dealing with. And he'll use that to disrupt the church, to cause division, to to cause all these things to come out because he knows you're already dealing with it. So if we don't understand, you know, what's going on, then we'll get caught up in that, and then we'll get frustrated, and that's where the division starts to begin, you know, instead of using it as a tool so that we can build ourselves and make ourselves better. We you know, we'll get deliverance from our from people, from things, and from our emotions and stuff. That's one thing that we have to learn how to surrender, is our emotions to God, because we walk in our feelings all day long. Somebody offended you, you know, somebody, you're angry already, you're bitter, and the enemy knows that, and he can use any situation to stir that up. Yeah. So we just got to recognize that and use it as a tool to be like, you know what, I'm not going to let you control my environment, my day, anything. I'm going to use that as, you know, do something good for that person instead, you know, love them.
That's right. Amen. Anybody else before we close? Go ahead.
I could add on to what Mark and Jesse said. I mean, like, at one point too, you know, like, my family, I used to hate my family. They used to tell me all these negative things that was worthless. But at that time, I see, like, how they're like a monster to me. But at one point in my life, you know, going to boot camp or in life now, like, it prepared me to what's out there. So, like, all this kind of prepared me to be strong and keep fighting forward, keep moving forward. You know, that's pretty much it.
Amen. Anybody else before we close? Going once, going twice. Service at 11. God bless you.